Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them up to 1 John chapter 4. And if you need one of these lesson plans for tonight, raise your hand and someone will bring one to you. Karen has them and Brother Dave has them. We are going to give an endorsement for Beth Carter to go to Southeastern Seminary. So I would like to call us into business session right now. And I want you to know that Beth Carter, where is Beth? She's here, right? There's Beth. Raise your hand, Beth. Beth is looking to go to Southeastern Seminary. Beth has been a faithful student, college student here in our church, plugged in, was in the VBS meeting tonight. That deserves an endorsement to any seminary. She came to the VBS meeting, and she's faithful, and this endorsement for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and she is considering either going this fall to the resident program, or they have an online component she may do for a year, so we may have her in the fall, which is kind of what I'm leaning toward. But she may be gone in the fall, but either way, she'll be a student at Southeastern Seminary. But in order to be accepted, she has to have this endorsement. So here's what it says. Have it evidence that Beth Carter is a person of genuine Christian commitment and spiritual maturity, of moral integrity and emotional stability, of faithful attendance and participation in the local church. We recommend her for admission to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and pledge our continuing interest and support through prayer. I would entertain a motion that we do that. All right, do we have a second? All right, all in favor? Any discussion? I was trying to make this the world's fastest business meeting, but I got ahead of myself. Any discussion? All right. With no discussion being observed, all in favor, say aye. Any opposed, no. It's unanimous. Beth, we're proud of you. And I would also amen, that's good. And I would also entertain a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Is there a second? All in, any discussion? I guess I'm supposed to do that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed by like sign. That's a pretty quick one. That's good. Okay, I want you to take your scripture here and our lesson plan, and let's go through this quickly. By the way, one more thing I want to say to you before we get into it. A week from tonight, we're having our mini musical, Celebrate Freedom. There will be narration. Our choir and orchestra will be presenting wonderful patriotic music that will draw our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and the need for our nation to trust in the Lord. And it's going to be a great time. Afterwards, we're going to have our All-American Night Fellowship. So bring somebody with you, hot dogs and apple pie and Chevrolet. If somebody bring a Chevrolet, we'd have it all. But anyway, we're going to have a great time here next Sunday night. I encourage you to bring somebody. Then the next Sunday night is our praise sing. And I just wanted to add this little extra thing about that. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be having a spaghetti supper here as we begin that time in the praising. That is an opportunity for you to showcase your talent. We've been doing this for a number of years. If you'd like to sing, if you'd like to sing, if you'd like to sing, normally we sing, but we have instrumental specials and other things that we can do as well. But if you'd like to do that, there's a sign up in the hallway. I want you to know that the supper is, there's no charge for the supper. There is a suggested donation. And some of you may want to give more than the suggested donation because I wanted to tell you this. All of the proceeds of this, and by the way, the youth will be putting on this dinner. And they will be putting on the dinner under the supervision of Ann Davis. Amen? It'll be good. Okay? So I want you to know about that. But the proceeds are going to go for our outreach, our VBS outreach that we're going to do on July the 23rd. So we're going to use these funds to help us in reaching out to our neighbors around us, to promote our VBS ministry. So I wanted you to know about that. That is a very special night. And let me tell you, it is worth every penny of it to hear Wayne Cheshire play his harmonica. So you need to be here for that, okay? It's going to be wonderful. All right, we're looking at real Christianity. Anything less is like cotton candy. Our scripture today is 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verse 5. Let me read that. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now you remember, and we're going to just briefly give these remarks about 1 John. It was written by John to dispel Gnosticism as one facet of it. These are people that believe that instead of faith in Jesus, the real person Jesus who lived on this earth, they believe that it was really the secret was some special knowledge. And they refrain from believing that Jesus actually lived, that he was God's Son, that he in the flesh died on the cross and was raised from the dead. They believe the Spirit of God came upon Jesus at his baptism, and it was not really the same as we know it in Scripture. And so that's why a lot of John's teaching talks about, for example, in chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. It was not a facade. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ was a historical person who lived on this earth. We've heard him. We have seen him with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And so he is going through all of this. And instead of the Christianity being just some kind of a knowledge in our head, Christianity is to be lived out. And so the title of our series is Anything Less is Like Cotton Candy. 1 John teaches us about real Christianity. Now you see those nine other messages or nine other truths that are there that we have talked about. We're not going to read all of them. But tonight's lesson is this. Real Christianity is demonstrated. This is number 10. Real Christianity is demonstrated as we learn to love the Father. In verses, in chapter 4, verses 17 and verse 20. Verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Big truth tonight is this. As a believer in Jesus, if you are a real Christian, you are to be growing in your love for God, growing in your love for Jesus Christ. Now, the word perfected in verse 17 means completed. Look at that. Love has been perfected, or you can say love has been completed among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, Because he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorites, says there are four challenges in this passage that tell us if we are growing in our love of the Father. And I want us to think about them. Four different ways we can measure whether or not we are growing in our love for the Lord, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is, number one, boldness. Boldness. In verse 17 it says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now the word boldness means, this word means confidence or freedom of speech. You know, the scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There's no way in the world, knowing who God is and his holiness, that we can come boldly to him unless we know that he loves us. And listen, unless we know that we love him. The word means confidence or freedom of speech. We have confidence as we approach the end of the world and eternity. Now, the word judgment, if you look there, it says that we have boldness in the day of judgment. The word judgment, as we develop our love for Jesus, we will have more confidence as we come closer to the day of judgment. Look back at chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So as we, a measurement of our love for the Lord, a measurement of our love for Jesus is, are we more and more comfortable with the coming day of eternity, the day of judgment, the end of the world, the end of our life as we face God? Now, it says there in the passage, in verse 18, there is no fear in love. Fear means it's the same word as phobia, P-H-O-B-I-A, phobia. This is the opposite of confidence. This is the opposite of boldness. Martin Luther said this, that fear had its own agony. If you're a person of fear, you are fearful to face God. Boy, that's agony. That's agony. That's the opposite of confidence. The scripture's teaching us that the foundation of our confidence in facing eternity and facing the day when we come before our Lord is the fact that we love him. You say, Pastor, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Pastor, I think about the coming of the Lord. I get all nervous because I don't want to face him. Well, let me suggest to you that when you come to the end of this Bible study tonight, that you determine that you're going to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. You are determined you want to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. Because I want to tell you something, that's real Christianity. Real Christianity is lived out of love. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. We don't do what we do because we're fearful of God. We do what we do because we love him. That's the greatest motivation of all to change behavior is love. You look at, this is the opposite of confidence. I'm reading here. Luther said that fear has had its own agony. Acrophobia is a fear of heights. You have a fear of heights. Well, I tell you what, in youth ministry, I've been on every ride. Man, I've been to Cedar Point. Who has anybody been up there? Man, that place is unreal. I've been to King's Dominion. I've been to Six Flags. Man, I've been... There's a thing... Where is this in Six Flags over in Atlanta? The cliffhanger. You ever been on that thing? It's like an elevator. You get in it, they stand you up in this thing, and it goes, it just goes straight up real fast. It's like on a cable. It goes real fast, and then it goes, tick, 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 and it just moves out from the security of the building it's in. And it goes out on a ledge. This thing is like 7, 8, 9 stories high. And then it goes, click, click, click. I love that click, click. It just gets you, you know. Click, 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 and it goes out the end. And then it just hesitates about 2 seconds, and then it goes, boom, just straight down. The cliffhanger. There are teenagers, you're sitting there and you put a quarter on your knee, and when the thing lets go, the quarter just floats in front of your eyes. Because you go down so fast, the quarter's right there, and then you try to catch it at the end, man. It's cool stuff, I'm telling you. But you think about, I got over my acrophobia very early in youth ministry, okay? Hydrophobia, the fear of water. But let me say this, there's also the fear of judgment, which will diminish when we grow in our love for Jesus Christ. We will die and face the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. But can I assure you of something? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, now listen, if you have real Christianity, then you have this. But Jesus has already paid for the judgment for us. I want you to look at John 5:24. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 5:24. John 5:24 says this, Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. And ladies and gentlemen, as we grow in our love for Jesus Christ, then we realize we can have confidence as we think about eternity. Do you fear going to the dentist? That's my blank there. I had to put that in there. Do you fear, some people, man, just the thought of it. I have never feared going to the dentist, because every time they say to me, they give you that shot and they say to me, can you still feel this? I always say yes. I don't care how many they give me. I always say yes. Finally, they let me sit there 30 minutes and my whole side is numb. Man, they can pull all my teeth out. I'd never feel a thing. They can hit me in the head, whatever. But I am not taking a chance on that. You see what I'm saying? So some fear going to the dentist. But let me say this. Here's the thing. The more we have confidence, the more we love him, the more we have confidence, the more we can face him, the more we have that confidence when we think about facing the Lord. All right? So, you say, Pastor, I want to know, am I growing in my love for the Lord? Well, I want to ask you this. Do you have boldness in the coming judgment? That's a measurement that we're given in this passage. Number two test is honesty. In verses 20 and 21, look at this. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's dishonesty. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Honesty. Are you honest? Here is a warning against, the blank is pretending. Are we pretenders? We recognize that as we grow in our love for the Lord, we are set free to love others. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest freeing thing in the world is to know you're forgiven. And because you're forgiven, because the God of this universe loves you just the way you are, and he's changing you from the inside out, then you can love others. But what happens to us is we are not obedient to the Lord. We are not obedient in growing in our love for him. And so we begin to pretend, because people, we know the way we're supposed to act, and we begin pretending. There is no need to pretend. Jesus gave us the command to love. It says there in verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Mark 12:30-31. Look at that real quickly. Mark 12:30. Excuse me. Mark 12:30-31, here's the command. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. So honesty. If you say you love God and you don't love others, your brother, you're not honest. And if you're not honest, you're not growing in your love for the Lord. Are you comfortable in your honesty to God? Are you growing in your honesty to God about yourself and about the life that you're living? If you are, it may be an indication, it is most likely an indication that you are growing in your love for God. You are growing in your love for Jesus Christ. Now, Ananias and Sapphira were pretenders, and we don't have time to read all of Acts 5, but you can go back and look at that. They were immature. Can I say this? They did not lose their lives because they did not give all of their money. You know that story. They sold a field, and they said, "We're coming to give it all," and they didn't. They held back, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. Their lives were not taken because they did not give it all. Their lives were taken because they were hypocrites. They were dishonest. They lied about it. That was the story there. They were not honest. So a mark of immaturity is dishonesty in the sense of, oh yes, I'm a pretender. I'm pretending to love others and pretending to love God. And you cannot not love others and say you love God, the scripture says. I love God and hate my brother. You're a liar if you do that. So now, just to give us the big picture, we're talking about the fact that if we're really Christians, we're going to grow in our love for Jesus Christ. Now, can I say this? That's not a Baptist thing, is it? That's a Bible thing. That's a scriptural principle that we need to abide by. We need to grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, turn the page over quickly. Number 3, joyful obedience. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." There's the phrase "to keep his commandments." Now look at verse 3. This dovetails right into what Robert shared in the welcome time. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Hence the phrase joyful obedience. It's not just outward obedience, it's joyful obedience. One of the measures of our love for the Lord is, are we joyfully obedient to the Lord? His commandments are not burdensome. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 30 is the scripture that's in our lesson here that Robert quoted, "For my yoke is easy and my load is light." When you love God and you love Jesus Christ and you're in a love relationship with God and love relationship with Jesus Christ, then obedience becomes joyful. It becomes a blessing. The word "believes" In verse 1 of chapter 5, "whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ," is a word that is used so readily by John. The word "believe" always has an object. Notice it says, "whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ." That's important. Joyful obedience comes as we are believing in Jesus Christ. Joyful obedience comes from loving our Father. In chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." D.L. Moody said that every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. That's the blank. Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. I want you to look at the word keep in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I'm skipping down a couple lines on this lesson. The word keep is not an emotional word, but it is a word that requires action. Moody said every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. You know, shoe leather. When you have your quiet time in the morning and you read a passage of Scripture, you rejoice in that. You love that. You spend that time with the Lord. But you know what that always should result in? There's something I can do. There's something I can do today. Now, you're not doing it for God's approval. You're doing it because you love Him. Joyful obedience. As we grow to love God, it just results in movement. Christianity is a life of movement, ladies and gentlemen. It's a life of getting up and going. We've got this crowd down there in Tampa. Man, I'm telling you, they've got more energy than you can imagine. Colin is working them to the bone. But they're loving every minute of it. And they're in groups going out sharing their faith. And they said, Pastor, there's somebody over there. Can we go over there? I'm like, go ahead. You know, there they go. You know, they found somebody that they wanted to share their faith with. That's what Christianity does. It's a life of movement. We're going to go over here to the Oaks over here at Santa Fe. We're going to have a block party on the 23rd of July. You know, you pray about it. If you've got time, you get with the Lord about it. See if the Lord won't motivate you to put your Bible in some shoe leather. Get your Bible in some shoe leather and get walking somewhere and get doing something and go visit somebody. Write a letter to somebody. Shake a hand to somebody. You know, reach out. That's what happens when we have, we get in the Word of God. Joyful obedience. We prove our love for the Lord by keeping His commands, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 119:14 says that we rejoice in the testimonies of God. So the Word of God, as we keep His commandments, it's joyful obedience. All right, the fourth thing, and we got to hurry, victory. So what are these things again? They're ways to measure our love. Are we increasing in our love for the Lord? Do we have greater boldness when we think about facing the Lord? Are we honest in the way we're living? Do we have joyful obedience? Is it more joyful today than it was last year? Then most likely you're growing to love Jesus more with all your heart. And then victory. In verses 4 and 5, look at this. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. What a statement. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Here's a little progression to victory. Number one, being born again. If you're not born again, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Then our faith is in the promises of God. It says the second thing there in verse 4. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, we have faith in God and His Word. And then the confession of our faith in Jesus Christ. He who overcomes the world is the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I like to challenge people to confess with their lips the name Jesus, that they know and love Jesus Christ. I told our students, we had a block party, and all the students had assignments. But one of the things we did is about every 10 minutes, old Tom Terry got on a microphone. We had a big sound system, and Tom Terry got on the microphone, and he said, "Hey, we're glad y'all are all here." And there was about 150 people, and people were coming and going. And so we did it about every 10 or 15 minutes. He said, "We're glad you're all here. Hey, there's one of our students that just wants to say something to you." And so he'd give the microphone to one of our teenagers. And then they would introduce themselves, and they would give a brief testimony. And it was beautiful what they said. All these people there, and they were saying, "I've given my life to Christ. I got saved, and I hope that you'll get saved if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Thank you very much." And the people were encouraged. But one of the things I told them is, I said, "Look, you may be nervous about doing that, but let me tell you what you can do to totally get unnervous, if that's the way to say it. Say the name Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. So I told him, I said, don't, you know, and I know sometimes, you know, with athletes and others, you know, there are folks, they give a testimony, they say, you know, it's really nice that, you know, I just really give God the glory and just thank God. And we know many of them mean the God we're talking about, our Lord and Savior. But you really let it be known when you use the word Jesus. And so I told him, I said, you get up there, and I said, you get up there and you say, my name's so-and-so, and I'm just here to tell you that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Some of them about got to preaching up there, man, I'm telling you. Hey, listen, when you're in a situation and you're feeling a little bit like, a little timid, you just use the word Jesus. I promise you there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the progression to victory? Being born again, having faith in the promises of God, and then the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who overcomes, you see that in those two verses, 4 and 5, he who overcomes is another name for a believer in Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, they're synonymous. And as we are overcoming and having victory, we are demonstrating that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. So, one of the ways we know if we're growing in our love for the Lord is if we are having greater victory. I think that's a principle that we can learn. I love this illustration. Alexander the Great, they were in a great battle, and there was, people, it was an intense hand-to-hand combat. And Alexander was heading towards the enemy, and one of his own soldiers was retreating, going the wrong way. And he stopped him. He said, young man, he said, you're going the wrong way. He said, what is your name? And the man looked at Alexander the Great, and he said, Alexander, sir. He said, you change your direction or you change your name. Change your direction or change your name. Can I say this? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, can I tell you this? You're an overcomer. As you grow in your love for the Lord, you are to overcome. Now, this last little section is one of the most, I can't take credit for it, but as I read it, I think it is one of the greatest little couple of paragraphs about how to grow in our love for Christ. Here's what we'll do, and then we'll be dismissed. I just want to show this to you. We must cultivate friendship with Christ. Abraham was the friend of God, James 2:23, because he separated himself from the world and did what God told him. His life was not perfect, but when he sinned, he confessed and went right back to walking with God. So here's, if you want to grow in your love for Jesus, you must cultivate your friendship with Christ. And guess what will happen? Number two here. This friendship will begin to influence your life. As we read the Word and pray, and as we fellowship with God's people, Christian graces will start to show up in us. Our thoughts will be cleaner, our conversation more meaningful, our desires more wholesome. But we will not be suddenly and totally changed. It will be a gradual process. So as we learn to love the Lord, we cultivate a friendship with Christ, that friendship will begin to influence us. Number three, our friendship with Christ and our becoming like Him will lead to a deeper love for Christ. On the human level, friendship often leads to love. On the divine level, friendship with Christ ought to lead to love. We love Him because He first loved us. And then the last thing is, the more we know Him, the better we love Him, and the better we love Him, the more we become like Him. We're conformed to the image of His Son. Of course, we will not be completely conformed to Christ until we see Him, but we are to begin the process now. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if we're going to have real Christianity, we have to learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more every day. And you can measure it in your boldness, in your honesty, in your joyful obedience, and in the victory that we have in our lives. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.